Take your Bibles this morning, turn over to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Had no idea what the preacher this morning was going to preach, and this kind of goes along with it, a little bit of what he preached this morning about Christ being our substitute. But want to look at something. We're going to go to John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John 3:16. And this is probably one of the most familiar, popular passages amongst a lot of folks. Even if they don't know a lot about the Bible, they're not in church. There's a lot of folks that do know John 3:16. We've come to find out that even here in the Bible Belt, I heard a guy say the other day that here in the Bible Belt, it needs a new buckle. Something's wrong with it, amen? But we know there's a lot of problems, but there's a lot of folks that know this. And at Warrior Day, we found out that there's some that have never even heard John 3:16. But this is a very familiar verse. This is one that most people know. And we're going to look at a few verses here this morning here, and then we'll go from there. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, if you're there, say amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Brother Heitch, if you wouldn't mind, would you stand, brother, and pray for the message this morning? This, like I said, this passage is very familiar, and a lot of times during this time of year with Christmas upon us, a lot of folks will refer to this passage that God gave this wonderful gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was a great gift. But last night I was sitting there trying to pray about what to preach, and we had just come back from that long trip from being out of town there, and I was praying about it, and I was watching some of the basketball game. Florida was on there playing, and watched them, and after that they had the Heisman Trophy presentation, and it's supposed to be the greatest award for amateur sports is the Heisman Trophy, and they got up there, and they were talking about all these past winners, and the man that won it, Baker Mayfield, he got up there, and he said it was an honor to be standing on the stage with these great men. And he talked about some of them being the greatest during their time. And I got to thinking about that. There have been a lot of people, and there's been a lot of things that have been deemed the greatest. I've heard people just talking at work or wherever, and they'll talk about how great something is. They might say, you need to go either. That is the greatest place. That's the greatest food I've ever had in my life. I've yet to find that place, amen, that's the greatest I've ever had in my life, but there's people that talk about great things, and y'all all have heard of Usain Bolt, the runner. He is self-proclaimed, he has proclaimed himself as the greatest athlete who has ever lived. That's a pretty bold statement, is it not? He claimed himself to be the greatest athlete that ever lived. Muhammad Ali, a lot of people reference him as the greatest. They say that he is. People lifted him up at a high degree, and what a lot of folks don't realize was he was a God-hating Muslim. Muhammad Ali was. He was not a good man at all. They start talking about all these things that are done to women and all those things. I need to look at some of these athletes that people lift up so high and see how they treat women. There's a lot of bad things there, but he was known as the greatest. There have been a lot of statements made There's been a lot of things about coaches. I like football, and they'll talk about who the greatest coach is of all time and who has the most wins and the greatest program and the greatest this and the greatest that. But I'm gonna just brag on the Lord for a few minutes this morning and say that there is none greater than our God. And I hope you don't mind this morning. We are missing a lot of folks, but you helped me preach this morning. And I just want to talk about the greatest this morning. Now, there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of programs, there's a lot of events, there's a lot of things that people refer to as the greatest. But when we want to talk about the absolute greatest of all, we have to talk about our Heavenly Father. We have to talk about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's none comparison except for to Him. I believe that the title of the greatest ought to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought not to go to anybody else. It's amazing. Sometimes you hear folks and they talk. They like to use the word awesome. And, I might find myself using it sometimes or say, that's awesome or this is awesome. And then in the same sentence, they'll talk about how our God is awesome. Well, God can't be awesome and then that restaurant be awesome at the same time. Amen. There's no comparison there. If you're going to use words like the greatest, you got to be talking about God. And I want to look at this passage here for a few minutes and talk about the greatest. First of all, I'd like to say there in that passage, it says, for God. And the first thing that we find there is the greatest power. There is no greater power than God. You know, when you think about Him, in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God. That is a powerful statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You tell me one other being, you tell me one other athlete, you tell me one other king or one other person in this world that could ever create something out of nothing. Nobody else can do that. You want to talk about the greatest power in the world? Kim Jong-un, my dad called him that fat donut over there in North Korea. He thinks he's this great power. Amen. And he might have it there in that little part of the world he's in. But I'm telling you that God is the greatest power that ever has been and ever will be. You think about a great power. Man, I'm telling you what. Scientists try to create life and they try to do all these things. And they're trying to come up with artificial life. And they're trying to do all these things. But not one thing can be made without something that God already created. Brother Heiser, it's pointless and useless. They try to say that there's no such thing as God. They try to say that we're all gods and everything came from a big bang and all this stuff happened. Well, hey, we're to this atom and this atom came and they collided together and boom, here we are today. Well, where did the atom come from? They don't have a clue. Amen. You know, when you talk about the greatest power in all of the world and universe, you have to talk about God. If any man has a position of authority, if any person has done something great in their life, it is because of God. We're nobody without God, Brother Steve. Man, my job, and I've been married for 11 years. I know there's been married a lot longer than that, but we went to eat at a restaurant the other night, and the waiter came up. He said, hey, are we celebrating anything special? And he was a young guy. He was probably my age or a little younger. And I said, we're celebrating our anniversary. He said, oh, that's wonderful. How long have you been married? We said, 11 years. And he was in shock. He said, I'm going to be honest. I've never met anybody my age that's been married for 11 years. He said, if they have, it's been total through three marriages. I'm telling you, this man was... He said, I meet older couples that say they've been married for 40, 50 years. He said, you're one of the first folks my age that have been married for 11 years. He said, I can't believe it. He said, everybody I know that's our age has been divorced and remarried, and they've not been together. Why? Because divorce is just something people do now. They change out relationships like they do their clothes every day. Amen. They get tired of one and go to the other and all these things. And he was just amazed that we had been married that long. And I got to thinking about how good God's been to me and how God's blessed our marriage over the years and the job that I have in this church and what all God's done. And all I can think about is it's all to the glory and honor of God, and it's His power. It's not me. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own strength. People, man, I'm telling you what, this world is in an absolute mess. They're in an absolute mess. He was amazed. And then he couldn't believe that my wife was 2 years older than me. Amen. He couldn't believe it. He said, if you don't mind, how old are y'all? I said, I'm 32. She's 34. He said, there's no way. There's no way that she's that old. She looks like she's like 22. I don't know if he was hitting on her or what he was doing, but I was about to hit on him if he kept going. But he talked about how young she was, and he walked away. And you know, I said, Lord, I missed my opportunity. Because you know what I could have said? That was an opportunity. Hey, we went over to that place called Paula Deen's, amen? And they just bring out all this good home-cooked food, and it was there. It messed with my senses, and I lost my train of thought. I should, you know, opportunity was there, but chicken was, I mean, fried chicken, brother. Southern fried chicken, and man, collard greens, and some casserole. It was just all this good food, and I just wanted him to move on. I was done talking to him. As soon as he walked away, I said, Sarah, I missed my opportunity. You know what? Do you know what I could tell him? Do you know why my wife looks as young as she does? Because she hasn't had, her life's not been full of sin. Amen. That's why she's 34 and she looks like she's 20. Amen. Haven't had that life of sin. You can look at the same people. You can see somebody that's 20 years old, but they look like they're 40 years old. And it's because of sin in their life. Amen. Because of sin. But I tell you what, we serve a great God with a great power. All I'm doing this morning is bragging on Him, so I hope this is okay. But He is the greatest power in the beginning, God. Man, that is a powerful statement. It's something that people, I think we take that for granted today. You realize the Creator of the heaven and earth chooses to come meet with us. You know, last Sunday, I believe we had a good service, man. I think God moved in last Sunday morning a little bit and touched hearts. You realize the Creator of the heaven and earth stepped down to Warrior, Alabama to come have church with us. Man, we take that for granted sometimes. The Bible says in John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Tell you what, that is a powerful individual. Is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in Job 33:12, behold, in this thou art not just, I will answer thee that God is greater than man. There is no greater power in this world. No person, no government, no anything that's greater than our God. We find the greatest power. He's the Creator of everything. You know, you think about the Bible and all the different names they have for God. He covers everything. And you know what? He summarized. I mean, He's the lily of the valley. And you can go through there. And He's the Almighty. I mean, I've got this plaque sitting in my office at home that goes through all the names of the God in the Bible. And there's so many things. When He was talking to Moses, He summarized it and said, I am that I am. You know what He was saying? He said, I am whatever you need me to be. There's no other person that can do that. There's no other being that can do that. But God said, I am whatever you need me to be. That's what I'll be, and I'll take care of you. There's no great. He's the greatest power. Not only that, but we find here in this passage, when we talk about the greatest, you know, there's been a lot of folks that say this is probably the greatest verse in the Bible. There's a lot of people that refer to that. John 3:16 as being the greatest verse in the Bible. Not only do we find the greatest power, but number two, when we're talking about the person of God, but number two, we find the greatest passion. The greatest passion for God so loved. That God so loved. You know, the Bible says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We will find no greater passion and no greater love than that Jesus Christ gave His life to save our soul. Amen. He preached it this morning about Jonah. Jonah said, it's me, it's my... Hey, now Christ was not the reason for our sin. It wasn't His fault. But He said, I'll pay for it. And He was a type of Jonah. What He preached this morning was exactly right. He said, it was me. You need to throw me overboard. I'm going to give myself to save you. I'm going to give myself so it can be better. And Jesus Christ did that for us. And that is a great love that He had. There's no greater passion. There's no greater love than what was displayed on the cross of Calvary. There's none greater at all. You know, the Bible talks about how somebody would maybe give their life for a righteous person. I believe it's over in Romans somewhere. I don't remember. I don't have it in my notes. And I think about that maybe that there's some people that I loved and I cared about that I would die for you. I feel like there's some folks that I love, my family, and people in this church, that if some nut came in here and I could save you or save the kids, I would jump in front of that bullet in a heartbeat. But I don't know that I could give up my son for any of you. I'm going to be honest. I couldn't give up my son. I couldn't give up my daughter for any of you. Now, I'd probably be willing to do it for some of you, most of you. Amen. But I wouldn't give up my kids, Brother Hunter. And I love you, brother, but I wouldn't give them up for you. But Jesus Christ did. God the Father said, I'll send my son. And you know what? Jesus Christ said, I'll do it. And he did it. The Bible says while he was on the cross, he had these angels that could come take him off there at any time. And yet he stayed there. And the Bible said, just like a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He sat there and he did it, knowing what was about to come upon him. And he did it for you and I. There's no greater love than that. There's no greater passion. Now, there's a misconception today in the world that God just loves everybody, and you can do whatever you want and live however you want, but God loves you anyway. The Bible said, for God so loved, he loved you enough to send Christ to die for you. But John 3:36 says that if you're not saved, the wrath of God abides on you. Until you accept that payment that he made on the cross of Calvary with his son, the wrath of God abides on you. You say, God loved everybody in this world enough to die for them, but the wrath of God is on them until they get saved. Well, how do they know? Well, how shall they hear except their preacher go? Amen. We're sending missionaries so they can go to Belize to tell people that, hey, in your lost condition, the wrath of God's on you, but can I tell you that Jesus Christ loved you so much he sent somebody to take your place and die for you? Amen. There's a message going around the world today. It's sweeping through our country and churches everywhere. Well, we'll stand up in the pulpit and preachers are preaching, hey, you can live how you want, you can dress how you want, you can act however you want. God just loves everybody the way they are. And that is not true. It's not popular, Brother Steve, but it's not true. Amen. God does not like sin. God does not love sin. He loved him enough to die, but we've never seen a greater love. We've never seen a greater passion than what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is the greatest passion. There's none greater. There's no greater love. There's no greater power. There's no greater person. Number three, there's no greater present. No greater present has ever been given. For God, there in verse 6, are y'all still with me? For God so loved the world that he gave. There's never been a greater present given. Never. The other day, I believe our kids might have got a gift from somebody, and one of them made the statement that, man, this is the best, this is the greatest present I've ever gotten in my life. Amen. When you're 5 years old, it gets better every year. Amen. It's the greatest every year. And then they get older and you can't please them with nothing. But I'm telling you right now that the greatest present that's ever been given, there's nothing that compares to what God gave. The fact that he gave. Amen. I'm telling you what, you know, I appreciate a good present. I enjoy getting them and all those things. But the greatest present I ever received was the one I accepted in July of 1995 as a 9-year-old boy. It was given over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. But I received that gift when I was 9 years old, the day I got saved. That is the greatest present that has ever been given. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's never been a greater present given, brother. Not at all. Not even a deer. Amen. There's never been a greater present. Well, you haven't got one of those yet, have you? Oops. There's never been a greater present given. Hey, when we're talking about greatness, we got to be talking about God. We see it here in these verses. We see the greatest person, the greatest power, the greatest passion, the greatest present Not only that, but look there still with me. We see, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know what we find here? We find the greatest priest. The Lord Jesus Christ took our place, and He became a mediator between God and man. In the Old Testament, that's what that priest did. He was a mediator. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. We find a great priest here. Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, was given, so He could be a mediator between God and man, and there's never been a greater one. I tell you what, the Pope does not compare to Jesus Christ, no matter how hard he tries to. Amen? And if you got one of those funny Bibles, any of them besides the King James, it says His only Son. In John 3:16, it says he said He gave His only Son. You know what that means? You can't be a son of God. It says His only begotten Son. He was born of a virgin. But guess what? I can be a son of God. But not according to their Bible, I can't. Amen. But the Pope and all these people, they try to be this great mediator and all these things, and they try to reach this sainthood. And I hate to tell them this, they're trying to work through all these things to try to reach sainthood. But the day that I got saved, I became a saint. Why? Because we have a greater high priest. The Bible says there that we have a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, He's greater. You know, the Bible says over there in Matthew chapter number 11 that Jesus Christ was greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great man, but he was greater than John the Baptist. Well, he preached about Noah this morning. The Bible says over in Matthew 12:41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. We see in this passage a great priest. A great priest. Not only that, but are y'all still with me? I'm moving along. We're not far. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Not only do we find the greatest person, the greatest power, the greatest passion, the greatest present, the greatest priest, but we find the greatest plan of all time. Whosoever believeth in Him. I tell you what, man, I like sometimes having a plan, like what are we doing, where are we going, how are we going to do this, and all these things. But I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ had the greatest plan of all time. He said in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what the greatest plan is, Brother Richie? God said, I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross, and He's going to take all your sin. He's going to die for your sin. He's going to bear your sin, past, present, future, like the preacher preached about. And He's going to do all that. He's going to do all the work on the cross of Calvary. And all you have to do is just believe that He did that for you and ask Him to come in your heart and save. That's all you have to do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Man, there's no better plan than that. Amen. All these folks, man, they got these big house payments and these things, and they got to pay off their bills, and Dave Ramsey's come up with all this plan, and it's all one big plan to get it all paid off. Well, you know what there's people doing today, Brother Trapper? They're living their life, and they're trying to work out a plan to get to heaven. They're going to give so much money. They're not going to miss church. And they're going to do like some of these folks down here in Belize that he's dealing with. And they have a plan, and they're trying to work their way to heaven. They have a God, like he talked about, that cannot be satisfied. But our God came up with the greatest plan of all. He said, I'll give my Son on the cross of Calvary. And all they have to do is believe. That's all they have to do, and they can be saved. There's no greater plan of salvation than that. Amen. There's none greater than that. That's why the youngest child that has an understanding of sin and what Christ did for him on the cross can get saved. That's why the oldest man, that's why somebody that, man, they can't even read, but you can sit there and tell them about what God did and they can believe and be saved. You don't have to have a doctor's degree or go to all these colleges or cemeteries or whatever to get it. I'm telling you, you could just, just understand the simplest plan. It's the greatest plan. Not only that, but we see here the greatest promise. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I thank the Lord for that promise. I cannot mess up this salvation. Amen. I can mess up my relationship with God. There's been a time or two where that's happened. You've got to get right with Him, but I can't mess up the plan that He has when it comes to salvation, for Him saving me, that we should not perish. The greatest promise leads to the greatest possession. Y'all keeping up with all these greats? I'm telling you what, this is a great verse, is it not? Amen. Keeping up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only do we find the greatest promise, but the greatest possession. Everlasting life. We get to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have life in Him because of salvation. The Bible says in John 3:36 is the verse that I mentioned a second ago, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." John 3:16, John 4:14, John 5:24, John 6:27, John 6:40, John 6:47. Just within three chapters, over and over and over again, we find out that if we have Christ and we're saved, we can have this everlasting life. That is a great possession. You can have the nicest house, the nicest truck, man, the nicest anything you want in this world. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have absolutely nothing. The greatest possession that you have this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest possession that you could have right this second, right now. You could lose everything and still have everything if you've got Christ, if you've been saved. These people want to work their whole life through all this money and all these things. But if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Romans 6:22 says, "Being now made free from sin and become servants to God, have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." We find all these greatest here in this verse. We find the greatest person, the greatest power, the greatest passion, the greatest present, the greatest priest, the greatest plan, the greatest promise, the greatest possession. But this is the sad one. Look at the greatest problem. The greatest problem. Look at verse number 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Here's your greatest problem. "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We have a great Savior. We have a great God. Man, I just gave you all that. How many greats is that I gave you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Y'all didn't know there was 8 points in that verse, did you? Or that a Baptist preacher could preach 8 points in about 30 minutes. Amen. All those greats. But we find that the greatest problem is there's people that do not believe. There's people that do not trust Him. The Bible says in 1 John 5:10 through 12, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That is tragic that there's people today that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they've heard the gospel. They've heard the preaching of the gospel. These missionaries that go, Brother Smallwood and these other missionaries we support, that they go, and you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to present the greatest to these people. Say, "I'm telling you that this man's greater than anything you've ever experienced. This salvation is greater than anything you've ever heard." And what is sad is there's people that'll turn around and they'll walk away. That's a sad place to be. There's people right here in this community that have heard the gospel and they'll turn around and walk away. They'll turn around and walk away from the greatest thing ever. Man, wouldn't it be something special to be able to say that you have the greatest? Say, "Man, what'd you get for Christmas this year?" You say, "Well, you know, I got a few nice things, but nothing compares to the greatest present I ever got." "Oh, well, what's that?" oh, that's when Jesus Christ saved me. That's when he died on the cross for my sins. You'd be able to witness to folks, but it's sad that people turn around and walk away. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season. We ought to do it all the time. But it seems that during this time of year that some people, not everybody, but some people are more receptive to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ during times like this. And I want to tell you, you ought to brag on him being the greatest. Amen. Now, you might be a fan of the greatest football team. You might be a fan of the greatest whatever, or know the greatest this or that. But I'm telling you what, we ought to be bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be magnifying and lifting him up. We ought to be exalting him. He is the greatest. And there is none greater than him. I'm going to leave you with this verse, and if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as your Savior, as soon as we dismiss the service, you need to come get one of us and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I know most folks that are here this morning and have heard their testimony of salvation, but you know what we need to think about as a child of God is there's a world out there that still needs to hear about the greatest. They need to hear about the greatest. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so, y'all know what it says? Great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How shall we neglect such a great salvation? Brother Terry, there's nothing greater. And this world needs to hear that. Our family needs to hear that. You know, there's some folks that say, well, man, every time I bring it up to my family, it causes problems. And you know what I say? You know, it might cause a little strife and a little problem down here on this earth, but if they die and go to hell and they don't go with us, that's a bigger problem. And sometimes it might take some tough love, and you don't have to beat them upside the head with the Bible, but you need to say, listen, I'm concerned about your soul, and you need to hear about the greatest story that was ever told. We hear that around Christmas time. We're supposed to, though. Brother Height said he heard something about Christmas, and not one time was the birth of Christ mentioned. Not one time. But I'm telling you what, the whole story of Christ's birth, it all has to do that. I've heard people say it's the greatest story ever told. And it is. It's a great story, but people need to hear it. They need to, you know, they're sad that there's kids that go through the Christmas season and they never one time hear the name of Jesus Christ. That's a tragic and sad thing. He is the greatest. I don't know if I did it justice this morning talking about the greatest, but I saw that man get up yesterday and begin to talk, and I heard men before him last night at this Heisman Trophy presentation get up and they talk about great plays and great coaches and great teams and great fan bases and all these great players, and I just heard great over and over and over and over again. And man, I got to thinking about how great God was, and there is none greater. And then you say, well, man, what about a great verse, John 3:16, great verse in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Brother said that's one of the verses that he heard when he was young as a child getting picked up was John 3:16. Did you say that was one of the first ones they taught you? Why? That's a great verse. It tells you exactly what Jesus... It tells you about a great God. It tells you about a great plan. It tells you about a high priest. It tells you about all these great things. But now you have to do something with it. Amen? All right, let's all stand. Appreciate you being here this morning. And pray for those that are out. I know there's several that are out sick this morning. And please be in prayer for them. And we'll be back Wednesday night for Bible study. One of the young preachers will be preaching, and we'll have our Bible study, Lord willing. And then play practice. Everybody that can needs to be here. Make sure their kids are here for the play practice. So, all right, Brother Hunter, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother?